Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gabriel India Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar, Managing Director, Gabriel India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. I hope my line is clear or audible.
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Good morning, all. This is Manoj Kolhatkar. A warm welcome to everybody who's been joining on the call today. Joining me is Rishi Luharuka, who's our CFO, Nilesh Jain, our Company Secretary, and our investor relations advisors at GA. We have uploaded our results and this presentation for the quarter ended 30th June on the stock exchange and the website. Hope all of you had a chance to go through the same. I'll come to the presentation slide by slide, but before that, I'll just set the context. Briefly, I'll just tell you about the operations of the company for the Q1. Just to share that it has at least started on a good note after, I must say, 2 years of COVID. This first quarter has been very strong, and thankfully for all of us, we have not seen any COVID pandemic wave hitting us. Yes, of course, we all know that it's not entirely behind us, but I think the vaccinations overall have helped the country at large. We have seen a robust industry volumes, and that is reflecting in our results as well. Also, we are seeing a lot of new models being launched and many more yet to be launched just before the festive season. Our utilization levels also have been fairly good. Before we get into the numbers, I'll provide a quick update on the current environment. Q1 FY23 was, of course, much better than the quarter of last year comparable period, because we all know in last year we had the COVID second wave hitting us. We had subdued sales in the month of May and also in June to some extent. This clearly reflects in the results as well. However, automobile industry continued to witness increases in prices of steel, aluminum, and other metals. Semiconductor shortage also is not entirely behind us, but as you all have seen, the order book is very strong, and particularly the passenger vehicle players have been able to introduce a lot of new models in this rather euphoric environment. Passenger vehicles saw improved performance in the first quarter, driven by several of these new launches, easing supply chains. Some of the OEMs were able to manage the semiconductor issue a little better. We also saw in the first quarter, after I think almost 8 quarters of continuous price increases in commodity, we saw a little softening of the commodity prices. Yes, a shift in consumer preference, moving towards SUVs rather than hatchbacks and sedans. With the upcoming festive season, this demand is expected to sustain. The two-wheeler segment was impacted due to significant increase in input costs, multiple price increases by the OEMs, and of course, yes, the running cost driven by the higher fuel prices. I think these have been dampeners in the two-wheeler, which is kind of the bottom of the pyramid, particularly in the commuter segment. The CV sales, commercial vehicle sales, they have improved year-on-year basis, and we are seeing higher infrastructure spending by the government, opening up of the economy, and also increased freight movement. CV segments have also been quite robust. While I said two-wheeler sales are still a little subdued, but it is showing signs of improvement ahead of the festive season. retail demand still seems far from the buoyant levels of earlier, as inventory at dealerships have remained a little over the ideal level. According to many experts, the festive season sales are 20 to 30% higher than any normal month. Many dealers do not expect to reach the pre-COVID levels of these festive season sales yet, especially in the commuter segment. But according to dealerships, both the inquiries and footfalls have increased or have reduced at the dealerships. Coming to the semiconductor scenario, which I said is getting a little better. So we have seen, you know, better shipments from all OEMs. Waiting times or waiting periods in the SUV segment have remained still lengthy. Strong bookings for newly launched vehicles indicate a strong pipeline of demand. EV, which is the electric vehicle segment, has witnessed, you know, massive surge as was predicted. EV sales across two-wheeler segments, cars, have increased significantly, even in terms of buses, due to the very aggressive push by all governments, all state governments. You know, we are seeing, you know, good increase in the commercial vehicle buses as well. However, that number is very small. But coming to two-wheelers, that has been quite robust. And the fuel price, which is going up, is adding, you know, to make this equation of cost of ownership even better for the two-wheeler EVs, particularly. EV industry can be expected to be consistent. Demand for two-wheelers, three-wheelers is expected to be accelerated by massive demand from the B2B sector, which would also be aided by the gradual shift of two-wheeler buyers to electric mobility. Though at present, EVs still account on the overall level, less than 1% of the total market in India, the demand is, you know, growing very strongly. Out of the total almost 3 million PVs sold in 22, I mean the FY22, I mean, only about 21,000 were EVs, which accounts for hardly 0.7%, but it is up from 0.2% in FY21. And in fact, as we speak, in the first 6 months itself, we have crossed this figure of 20,000 electric vehicle passenger cars. So you can see the growth rate is really phenomenal in passenger cars as well. In two-wheelers, it is, you know, far more rapid. I'll share the figures also going forward. But, you know, just to mention, the two-wheeler EVs is clocking almost 50,000 number every month. We had 50,000 in the first few months of this calendar year, Jan to March. And then, yes, we saw some spate of fires, battery fires, etc., which slowed down the growth. But it's now coming back again to almost 50,000 levels. So in the month of July, I think the sale was, the registration was about 44,000 in EV two-wheelers. Now, coming back, coming to the numbers, now I'll switch to the presentation. So, Rishi, I'll... since I'm at a different location, I would request my CFO, Rishi, to, you know, handle the presentation part, which I'm sure you're able to see. Right, Rishi, everybody able to view that, right?
The presentation was already shared on Friday.
It's already shared, yeah. Okay, so we'll, fine. So if you're referring to the presentation, then I'll, you know, the first slide is slide numbers. Should we start from the beginning, Rishi? Yeah, so this is the slide number 3. I'll tell the slide number so that you all can refer to that. This is our response to COVID. You know, why we still put it up is because, yes, you know, we are still seeing some cases of COVID. Thankfully, the intensity is very low. It's normally a mild flu. But we should never think that it's behind us. So we are taking all the necessary precautions. We have done the second dose. We have done even the booster dose to all employees. So we continue taking all precautions because safety is, you know, of paramount importance to all of us. Next slide, Rishi. These are the support initiatives which were, you know, so useful for us when the second wave, which was particularly devastating, you know, held us, see us through that that wave. So we continue those initiatives. Next, coming to the result update, I'm on slide 7, which is the financial highlights for the Q1. So as you can see, revenue, we had the highest ever, quarterly sales, crossing 720 crores in one quarter. So that is really excellent work done by the entire team. And of course, thanks to our customers for, having very robust pipeline of orders. The same figure you can see in the month of Q1, comparable quarter last year was just 450, but as I said, it was a COVID impacted month, so we really should not be comparing. However, it is 60% higher than, that particular quarter. In terms of EBITDA, again, we clocked back to 7+%. We are at 7.1%. So about 51 crore of EBITDA compared to the quarter Q1 FY22 of 23 crore. And even if you see the last quarter, I mean, the preceding quarter is 37.7 crore. In terms of PBT, we again crossed the 6%, which we were doing earlier, so 6.2%, which is, significantly higher than 3.5% achieved in the comparable quarter for the last year. And next slide, Rishi. Yes, these are the same numbers, but you see the percentage growth over the last comparable quarter, which is Q1 FY22. Revenue, as I mentioned, is 60% higher, but EBITDA is 120% higher, and PBT is 181% higher than comparable quarter last year. We had a net cash position of 262 crores, and we incurred about 21 crore of capex during the period. Next slide. These are again the same numbers. I won't go through them. Maybe you can skip. These are just the broad trends so that you can understand the trend from a trend perspective. But ROC is again back to the robust level of 29.2, which is in fact among the highest that we are seeing. I would say reasonably good set of numbers, thanks to again a good quarter for the industry as well. This is slide 12, which shows the financial track record trends. Again, you can see after the dip in the COVID year and the last year, it's again clawing back to better levels. These are some key ratios. As you know, we declared dividend of 1.6, so maintain our consistent dividend paying policy. And in fact, we have been consistently about 20%. This year, in fact, there's been 25%. In terms of segment mix, you see the last bar, Q1 FY23. You can see that two-wheeler is still about 65%, which is the maximum chunk of business. Passenger car is 22. CV is at roughly 12%. And in terms of aftermarket, you can see the aftermarket percentage, which is in the second graph, which is the replacement market, is 13%. Export is still small. I'll come to that specific issue, but aftermarket has increased from 12% to 13%. There's a marginal improvement because we have again been able to really aggressively push sales in aftermarket. Next, Vicky. This is the segmental performance. This is the first slide on two-wheeler and three-wheeler. So we have about 30% market share. Again, in terms of future development, again, EV continues to remain our focus in terms of getting and improving our market share. So we have now got on board of a new model of Okinawa, which is doing very well, called the Praise. So the SOP, the start of production has already started. So we are on that as well, and on several of the models. And as mentioned earlier, we have got the LOI for the Hero Electric model as well. And that SOP is in October this year. So we are in Hero as well. That was the only thing that was missing. So we have got into Hero Electric EV two-wheeler as well. Coming to, the story on EVs, where I think Gabriel has done very well in terms of entrenching it itself very firmly. Currently, as we stand in the month of June, 13% of Maharashtra's sales in two-wheelers have been EVs. So the penetration, as we call, is 13%. At the country level, this figure is still still just about 4.5%. But in Maharashtra, this figure, in fact, in July is even better. July, I think the figure is 16%. So it's, you know, Maharashtra, Gujarat, Karnataka, and I think Delhi are showing very good penetration levels of electric vehicles. But the important point here is that Gabriel share in this is 60%, you know, compared to our normal IC engine share, which is more towards 30%, a little less than 30%. Here, we have increased our market share to 60%. In the last call, if you recollect, we had shown this figure to be about 50%, 51%. So that continues. And our growth in EV, while the base is still small, but the growth in EV two-wheeler segment from in FY21-22 compared to 2021 has been 85%. And in fact, this figure keeps strengthening month on month. The last box you can see, we have shown the models. You can see all those models where we are there. So these are the top-selling models today. So we are there on five of the six top-selling models. So Okinawa Praise, Ampere, Ola, Ather, and TVS IQ. So everywhere we are, Gabriel is single source, and the list of the customers is displayed on top. Yeah, next slide, Vishnu. Coming to passenger cars, here again we have had a marginal improvement in market share. The good news is that we are on several of the new SUVs that are being already in the phase of launching, but they have already been displayed. As you know, the Maruti Suzuki Grand Vitara, the new Brezza, and the Toyota Highlander. All of these are with Gabriel shocks, and they're completely feature loaded. So we expect them to do very well in the marketplace. Pricing is yet to be announced, but we are sure that should also hopefully be good. So our share in SUVs will in fact further improve. And as I had mentioned earlier, now SUVs sell more than the passenger car sedans and hatchbacks. So in fact, India is moving to become a SUV market. And our presence there is quite good. We are there, as I said, on the Suzuki three platforms, and one more, the new Alto is going to get launched shortly. We are also on that. We are right now in the midst of, scaling up production for that as well. We are also on the Stellantis, or the Peugeot Citroën CC21. We have also been awarded the eCC21, which is the electric vehicle on the same platform. So that will also, hopefully come through in this financial year. And we also got the Volkswagen, the NQB2. 2.0, which is, you're seeing the vehicles today, the Volkswagen Virtus, the Skoda Kushaq, and the Volkswagen Taigun, and of course the Skoda Slavia. So these are the four platforms. So we have started production on a couple of them, and we'll shortly be getting on the SUVs as well. So this is the story in passenger cars. Coming to commercial vehicles, which is on slide 18. Here we have 89% market share, in fact almost a very, very dominant position. Here, due to the increased spending in infrastructure by the government and also increase in, buying of buses, because, the movement has started in terms of people going back to public transport, the schools, etc. So we are also seeing a good improvement there. So here we have a very good market share. Next, aftermarket. I did mention already, we had an excellent sale of 331 crore in the highest ever sales that we had in the year that went by in 21-22. And if you see the first quarter, we are almost at 100 crore sale in one quarter itself. So again, this has been, a good story to share in terms of our penetration, in terms of improving our brand Gabriel right at the tier 2, tier 3 cities as well, and also in continuously introducing new product lines even beyond suspension. So that also is helping us in gaining more traction and becoming a one-stop shop for our customers in terms of the distributors and dealers. Exports, yes, I did mention, I'll come to the set. This was doing very well. Last year we crossed 100 crore sale, but this year, unfortunately, we have had a setback because our sale was to Volkswagen of Russia, and we all know the conflict that is happening in that geography. And Volkswagen is actually, shutting down that plant. So we'll have to see on that particular aspect as to they had indicated they'll restart in Q3 of this financial year, but that might get deferred a bit more, and we actually don't know, to be honest, we don't know what is the future. We are discussing with Volkswagen, clarity is yet to emerge. So that has been a little bit of setback, but our orders to DAF of Netherlands, they are very strong. As I said, we got validated on DAF of Brazil as well. So that continues to grow. So we'll have to, being realistic, work on how to make up this Volkswagen Russia exports. Yeah, next slide. Rishi, you want to take on the balance sheet quickly?
Yeah, this being a quarter, the numbers on the balance sheet are for the previous full year. In terms of cash flow for this quarter, again, because of the increase in volumes, we've had an increase in the working capital, but we continue to maintain 17 days of net working capital as against 19 of the previous year ending. So what are you for that?
Yeah. So if you see, if you map the last 7 years in terms of how the market has moved and how has Gabriel moved in terms of growth, you have mapped it down. This is on slide 23, on segment by segment, two-wheelers, fast cars, and commercial vehicles. While the market has been, either negative or marginal growth over this entire block of 7 years, which also includes, of course, the COVID period, Gabriel has grown by, roughly an average of 7.5% in each segment, which really shows that we are actually improving our market share. This has been mainly enabled by the strong R&D and customer focus and our focus towards customer satisfaction. Next, Rishi. Core 90, we have mentioned on this cost reduction drive that we have. We have continued with the term because it's caught on with every employee. So we are continuing that focus in a renewed fashion, and all the teams are really working hard on each and every aspect of this, trying to reduce cost and eliminate waste to the best possible extent, which has yielded us a little bit of profitability as well. Our vision, we had defined as being amongst the top 5 manufacturers of shock absorbers in the world, based on its domestic dominance and technology, and of course exports and M&As. So we continue to work on each and every, prong that is mentioned here. Yeah, that's come to the end of the presentation, but that's pretty much the end of the presentation that I had to share. We also have we'll formally be inaugurating it. We already started working in this picture that you see on this slide number 38, if you refer your presentation back. Slide number 38 shows a picture of our new tech center in Chak, which is testing implementation capabilities. And also, we have made a small noise track for this particular the tech center. So this is come up very well, and I'm sure this will go very well with improving our position with customers and also helping us develop more and more reliable and robust and high technology products to offer to them. Yeah, so that's, I think we can end, and of course we'll continue to win several awards. We got an award from Ashok Leyland just a couple of weeks back. We already had won an award from Tata Motors, Suzuki, and also from Honda Motorcycles. So that also continues to go on strongly. So, that's pretty much the end of the presentation that I had to share. And now I'll Yeah, I think I'll leave it open for questions from you, any suggestions from you, and look forward to hearing from all of you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. What is it?
You are, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of numbers in such a challenging environment. I just have three or four broader questions. First is on the growth part. So, you know, if you look at sequentially and even on a year-on-year basis, so the growth has been quite strong. And if you one was to kind of better understand the volume versus price mix in this, what would that be? And a related question is on the aftermarket growth. You know, we've seen the highest ever growth ever quarterly sales in aftermarket. And if you look at the mix in terms of, say, the core ride-sharing, ride-control products vis-a-vis the other products, the mix has largely been same. So just trying to understand, you know, what is driving growth? If it's distribution, how much of a lever further we have in terms of, you know, in terms of the potential distribution where you would like to be. So any perspective on that? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Viraj. So do you have me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so in terms of growth, yeah, rightly pointed out, some of it is, yes, you have to factor the commodity price revisions that have happened. But even if you factor that, there is still a reasonable amount of growth. In terms of if I knock off the commodity effect, it would be, you can reduce, about 10%. But our growth has been far in excess of that. So obviously, there is a clear improvement in market share, which we shared already. You know, we could see each and every segment. Passenger car has moved to a better market share. Two-wheelers has gone to 30%. EV has grown from 50 to 60%. And commercial vehicle, of course, we are 89%. So that's more or less in line with the industry. So growth has been, quite good. Aftermarket also, the growth has been better than the industry. So I would say on the whole, except exports, there has been a good growth in each of the segments.
So on the aftermarket business, can you just provide some color on the elements that are driving the growth?
Well, I think, basically, our penetration in terms of all the city, tier one, tier two, and tier three cities, that has helped well. And also, the new products that we have launched, we had a little issue with the tires, so we have relaunched that with better quality. So that has taken off well, better aesthetic quality and even performance. So that has also helped. The brake pads that we have launched, that is gaining traction. So overall, I think it's a mix of aggressive push, better branding, better reach, and new product basket. So all this is helping the aftermarket gain. We have taken also a price increase in the market, obviously. There we can't take it exactly in line with the commodity. You have to do it in a creeping fashion, which we have been doing continuously, and it is being well received by the market. Yeah. Hello?
Viraj, you have any more questions?
Yeah, sorry. Second question was largely on the gross margin and the operating margin. So, if you look at our mix, by and large, you have seen a very strong increase in share of aftermarket, CV, and, even passenger vehicle. And these are typically the categories where which come highest in the pecking order for margin for us. But still, our overall gross margin is still around, say, 23.5, which is lower end of the historical band. So is bulk of the RM cost now in the books, and should we understand both the movement in the gross margin and operating margin cost in the next few quarters?
Yeah, Rishi won't take that.
So it looks like Rishi's line is dropped.
Okay. So, okay. So just to mention while Rishi comes on, you know, there has been, yes, of course, there has been a commodity recovery, but, you know, the effect for the quarter, the softening of the quarter will happen only from next quarter. Because and then, moreover, it has to sustain. We have seen April, May, June of softening, particularly in steel, but that has to sustain for us to really, you know, start getting better margins. So when the market is continuously increasing, we did share with you that there's a clear arithmetic impact in terms of, you know, the margins going down, because your price goes up only with the customer as regards the RM, raw material component. The rest of the part, you know, the customer does not compensate. So once you have a continuously escalating kind of scenario in commodity, the margins do take a beating, which is what we saw happen over the entire last year. Now we are hoping that this, if this softening continues, sustains, we should see the reversal in trend.
Okay, I mean, operating cost, I mean, is it, are we at the threshold level, because we've seen a good amount of efforts, you know, the efforts which are put in over the last couple of years, we've seen good amount of benefit coming out of that. So do we see any further more improvement from that, or that will only be incremented?
No, we should see further improvements in that. I mean, our efforts in terms of, as we call the VAV or value engineering and value analysis, and waste elimination efforts through our core 90, that continues. So you know, we will continuously look at improving our margins. We have just crossed 7%. You know, our target has always been being in the double digit of EBITDA. We had come close to that, but then yes. A down market in 1920 and then followed by COVID has taken all the steam of that. So we still, I mean, yeah, 10% looks difficult, but we'll still aim to get as close as to that as possible.
Okay, this last question, I'll come back into you. Any update on the new product which we were doing, the feasibility, and, you know, you're looking to design by this quarter?
Which new product?
So we applied on the PLI along with the parent.
Okay. PLI. So we are still evaluating. I mean, we have, the report is ready. So we are trying to, I mean, get more details and flesh it out even more. I mean, we've got the entire, market map, the kind of parts that we are looking at in great detail, segment wise, that has been done. So it is still work in progress.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Thank you and good luck.
Thanks, Raj.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. So I just wanted to check. So 7.1% kind of margin should be a base margin for us, right, going forward. So we're building upon this given the fact that RM costs have softened up?
Yes. If the RM trend continues, softening, then we'll definitely see better margins than this. However, having said that, there is there is immense pressure from the OEMs as well to keep reducing cost. I mean, that we are seeing a little more heightened push from the OEMs. So we'll have to find a way to negate that. But if the RM trends continue, as I said, surely this should be the base.
Secondly, sir, in terms of new product launches, so are we present with M&M types of kind of SUV 700 and Scorpio N, which were launched recently?
Yeah, so we are there with XUV 700. We are there in new Thar, both these models. And Scorpio, you know, historically has been in the competition. I mean, even the earlier Scorpio was with them. So that is not with us. Having said that, Thar is a new addition to Thar. Thar and XUV700 both are doing extremely well, and both are with GP.
Okay, and we are 100% in the VA sort of
100%. Yeah.
Right. So lastly, did we had any board deliberations upon the professional fee that we paid to the parents? So any thoughts on that?
No, I couldn't get that. Can you repeat?
We pay 2% of our revenues as professional fee to the parent, right? So were there any deliberations on this on the board meeting? Any outcome?
No, we do not have any deliberations on that. Because we take a And we have done that, you know, it's a completely arm's length pricing that we do. This kind of services we take from the parent, you know, are quite varied and, you know, right from human resource to finance to taxation to, of course, the brand, not to mention, not to forget that. Customer relationships, we do leverage. So, we have not taken that up in our deliberations.
Mr. Kolhatkar has mentioned, there are a host of services which we are actually receiving from Anand Corporate, which, if we were to sort of source it from a vendor, would be equivalent to what we are actually paying. Yes, there are challenges with regards to the margins and the top line going up. So the perspective which was shared in the previous meeting is an interesting way of looking at it. But just to share, in terms of what services we are sourcing from Anand Corporate, of course, it's the brand, first and foremost. Second is the human resource development part. We also have Anand University, which is basically responsible for training and development of all employees. We have the corporate business development function. We have the aftermarket logistics function, where all the CMSA, all the warehousing facilities source from them. We get a lot of support in terms of legal and taxation from them. Internal audit is a completely hosted function by Anand Corporate. Insurance, because of the leveraging of various companies coming together and getting better rates, that's handled out of Anand Corporate. Corporate communication, as well as the CSR activities, these are handled out of corporate. Yes, we've taken that your point, but with regards to services, I just wanted to mention that what all are we sourcing from.
Sure, thank you. And so one last thing. So what kind of production wrap-up are we seeing with Ola Electric? So any thoughts on that? So are we hitting a 10,000 per month mark anytime soon?
Their volumes are, currently down. A host of factors, like including their, component availability. So that is, we've seen a little slowdown in the ramp-up. But we are sure it will get there. It's a great product, and initially I drove it myself. Really wonderful product. I'm sure it will get back to those volumes, which they have always been telling.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amarkant Gaur from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Am I audible? Yeah. Thanks for taking my question, sir. I have a couple of slightly longer-term questions. So what I would like to understand, first of all, is in terms of our current margins, what kind of RM impact is embedded there, and which over time, if it gets corrected, what kind of benefit can we see on our margins from the RMs itself? Hello?
You mean if we get a complete back-to-back?
Yes. So
I'll take that. If we look at the whole of the last year and this quarter as well, roughly give and take the commodity impact because of timing differences and others where sort of complete back-to-back is not there, say, for example, in aftermarket, as well as some of the proprietary items where we don't want to disclose the chemistry and thus can't be indexed. Though that impact would be roughly in the range of 0.8%. However, we have to also remember that close to 2-2.5% is the denominator impact that has come by virtue of pure math.
Okay. So, tell me if my understanding is correct. So in case these things get normalized, we would be closer to maybe 9% plus kind of margins in the current quarter, had these not been there?
Assuming the whole commodity cycle reverses and goes back to where it began, the answer would be yes.
Okay. So, and would there be any other drivers to these margins going up to, let's say, our target levels of double digits? Is there anything else that we are working in?
Several things Amar on that. You know, it's a product mix also. Pricing is, margin is a big factor of product mix. So that's why we want to push more of aftermarket and exports. Certainly these two will help us, improve our margins infinitely. While aftermarket, we are seeing that happen. Exports, I mentioned, due to some unforeseen, uncontrollable issues, we got behind a bit.
Yes. So I'll come back to exports later on. But within the current trends that we are, that you also talked about and the industry is also seeing, SUVs are gaining more and more traction versus sedans and hatchbacks. And definitely for those SUVs, would the margins be slightly better than hatchbacks or sedans for us?
Oh, no, there is no much difference in terms of margins. But however, if you're able to introduce new technology, which is what we did in XUV 7.0, you know, the Mahindra model, we introduced a new model, a new technology called FSD, Frequency Selective Damping. There we are able to improve our margins a little bit. So if you're able to bring that, additional technology, that's what we are trying to do. That's why this new tech center, we have hired an expat as our chief technology officer. So with that, we are hoping that, you know, we should, but it will be more over the longer term.
Okay. Okay. And sir, on the technology side also, with Scorpio and Mahindra talked about something called as a Pentalink technology. Is what are your views on that? And is that something that we can also try and develop and maybe introduce in some of the other products that might be in the market?
No, that's the overall suspension geometry. That's not entirely with only the shock absorbers. That is more a prerogative of the vehicle manufacturer. In that, we only have our play is only suspension. So, in fact, what we offered in XUV 7.0 the technology, I would say that itself is quite good.
Okay. Okay, and my second question is on the Core 90 program that you have. Could you quantify what kind of benefits have we achieved so far from it and what kind of benefits are we looking to get in the future? If you can quantify in some way, like fixed cost reduction or something else.
Yeah. You want to take that?
The overall benefit would be in the range of 1-odd% period till date that we would have received under the various initiatives which we have taken. So there are some challenges also that we have faced during the course of last 6 quarters or 8 quarters actually. Net of net, we've clocked that kind of 1% odd.
All right. And sir, a couple of clarifications. That 60% share of business that you talked about was for the whole of the 50,000 odd numbers that we are seeing for electric vehicles, or was it for specific?
Yes. We are talking of the registered market, of course.
Yes, yes. City speed or high speed models.
Yeah, high speed. Because the low speed, it's still kit from China that people assemble, and we have no clue on the numbers. So the industry speaks only of the registered.
So that means we would be around 25,000 to 30,000 kind of a vehicles we'll have our products on in EVs.
For sure. Like I mentioned, those top, the top five, out of top six, we are there on top five.
Yes, and going forward,
each is selling roughly 5,000. Each is selling roughly 5,000 to 6,000. So 5 into 5, 25,000 to 30,000. So money over here.
Understood. So basically, with that new addition, this would further go up, maybe north of 30,000.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, are we doing anything on the low speed side of these electric two wheelers, or is that something we are not interested in?
No, we are not doing. And these, as I said, they are buying the kits from China. It's just impossible to. And my view is they may in fact die off. They want the restrictions. All these quality issues, or recall policies come in place. It will become difficult for them to continue with those.
All right. And then finally, on the export side, you said it was to Volkswagen in Russia, And what percent of what percentage of our exports would be would have exposure to Russia, or were it the 100% was to Russia only? Or
no, not 100%. I mean, it was per month we were selling about let's say, or on the whole year basis, it was about 25-30 crores.
Okay, out of 100
yeah.
crores.
Out of 100 crores, yeah.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Jayesh Gandhi from Harshad Gandhi Securities. Please go ahead.
So congratulations on a good set of numbers. So my question is, when we supply shock absorbers to, say, electronic two-wheelers, what's the price differential that we enjoy vis-a-vis, say, a two-wheeler IC engine? If you can spell out in terms of, say, 1.2 times or 1.5 times or whatever is the case.
Well, Mr. Gandhi, I can't spell out the figure. But yes, I can tell you that the margins are better.
Are the margins better than existingly, which we,
yes,
I mean, which we did
better.
In 2018 or something like that?
Yes, they are better than that.
Okay. Well, you were talking about your aspiration of being into top five shock absorbers in the world. You talking about yourself or the Gabriel, entire Gabriel?
No, ma'am.
Gabriel is already
Gabriel
into
India.
Top
five,
right?
No, I'm talking about only Gabriel India. So if yeah, well, like you rightly pointed out, if I add all the Gabriels that are present in the world, we would be in the top five. But I'm talking only of Gabriel India. So we are right now in the top 10, for sure. It's difficult because many are not published figures, but we should be around number 8, around that figure.
So what kind of sales would that be, sir, if we are looking, I mean, if we not to top 5, say last 5th?
Well, top 5 will have to get into $1 billion sale.
Which you are aspiring to do by 2025, according to your last call, right?
Yeah, we had, just to clarify on that, we had done that Vision 25 before the COVID. Okay, so obviously COVID has taken 2 years away from all of us. But we have not changed the vision in terms of the aspiration, because we felt let it still be aspirational.
It may be delayed by a couple of years, maybe 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, those COVID years, as you know, we are back to currently even this year in 22-23, we will not even reach 18-19 figures.
Okay. And one more question on two-wheeler sales. Since in 2016 or 17, if I remember the numbers correct, we had hit a 20 million mark on total sales on two-wheelers. And post that, I don't think we have touched that mark. Do you think the industry is matured? Even if we go to, say, EV two-wheelers, there will be a cannibalization and we won't be hitting that 20 million mark in, say,
year
or two?
Looks difficult. I mean, we had in fact gone higher than 20 million as an industry. But yeah, going back to that is looking difficult. I mean, even if you add by EV two-wheelers, it still is not coming close to that. We are looking at maybe 18 at best. It will take some more time, and you know, the issue has been the continuous increase that has happened in the basic price of the vehicle in ICE two-wheelers, of course. So the COVID also has played a spoil sport in terms of the psychology of the rural buyer. I think it will take a year or two. My view is we can definitely cross 20 billion as a country, maybe in 2 years' time.
So our strategy would be focusing more on PVs or two-wheeler,
yes,
or how we are just looking?
EV two-wheelers, of course, is a focus, and that's helping us. The base is still small, but, it's obvious people are going to convert to EVs.
My question was, our strategy is more looking towards passenger vehicles now, or it's still towards two-wheeler EV and...
I don't know. Our focus is, our focus is on all segments, to be very honest. That's why we did this segmentation of the business. We have a PC BU, we have a two-wheeler BU, we have a commercial vehicle and railways BU. So focus remains on each segment. Having said that, passenger car is something that we want. We can see a much better upside. We want to do more on passenger car. Coming to two-wheelers, there are some, let's say, market dynamics by which we cannot increase much in IC engines. So we have taken the focus in EV two-wheelers, and it's bearing us fruit. So these would be the key strategies, and that's what we're working towards. And the third, as I said, is the exports, which is a more longer-term strategy.
Okay. And one last question, sir. We are sitting on, say, 250 crore plus of cash. Other than the routine capex or the capex which we have spelled out, are we thinking of doing something else?
Yeah, we are actively scanning for opportunities of acquisitions. We did actually did a visit to a couple of them, but we did not find them to our standards in terms of all the practices. But that search continues. So certainly we would look at an inorganic growth. For sure, and that's what, as you saw in the vision, one of the key basic fundamentals by which we can achieve that is through an acquisition.
See, in India, we would be number one.
Overall, yes. Overall, definitely number one.
Okay, that's all from my side. Best of luck for future.
Yeah. Just to the moderator and Jigar and Rishi, I unfortunately will have to drop out of the call today because there's a customer visit and the customer has already come, which is why I have come to Gurgaon plant. So I'll drop off. Rishi, you can certainly take the questions. Sorry to do this because I've scheduled it up to 12 and he's arrived a bit early and I have to be with them. Nevertheless, thank you. Thanks for this opportunity. And I just take this opportunity to wish all of you a very, very happy, safe, and joyful festive season. So that's all from me. And thanks for your support. Stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you. I'll sign off now. Rishi, you can take it forward.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Pankaj from Affluent Assets. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yeah, Pankaj.
Well, most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to understand what is the scenario as far as CVs and railways is concerned?
Pankaj, why we have shared this view many times, with railway what happens is essentially it's a tender-based business. And it's getting quite competitive there. In order to increase the focus as well as the bandwidth there, we've actually sort of tied up with some experts of the industry. We are seeing some fruits of that now, and with regards to the current year budget, we are on track. As far as commercial vehicle is concerned, again, we are pretty much aligned with the industry, given that we hold such a large part of the market share. And as well as the export piece to DAF, that is also running on the budget.
So going forward, as CV's segment is expected to do well, do we expect to gain market share or maybe increase our kit value per kit, sorry, value in the vehicle?
So again, in the commercial vehicle, it's a little sort of a typical way most of these commercial vehicles, the moment it's bought, they tend to remove the shock absorber and put in an additional leaf in order to be able to load the vehicle with a higher capacity. So in terms of increasing the content, well, I don't see that much happening. Yes, there are. If the CV overall volume goes up, we are deeply entrenched in it, and corresponding to that, our volumes will as well go up. In terms of the pipeline, well, whatever is being floated, none in the last quarter actually, but for the previous year, whatever was RFQs have come, we've been able to win that.
So my last question, do we have any plan to enter into any other product which is exclusively for EVs, other than shock absorbers?
Exclusively for
EVs. other than shock absorbers.
Passenger car, you said, right?
Sorry?
Other than passenger car, you asked, or other than electric?
Other than shock absorbers in electric vehicle, either two-wheeler or four-wheeler.
Well, in terms of the overall basket of, you know, Iron Corporate, we are managing with one product of shock absorbers. Having said that, we won the PLI scheme. In the PLI scheme, we are progressively looking at sensor as a product. MD just mentioned in terms of where we are on that. So if we are able to go ahead with that, then the next product which will get added to the including electric vehicles on two-wheeler as well as passenger side would be sensor.
So what is the tentative timeline for the same?
Well, right now we are we've done the market mapping, we've done the understanding of the product, what's there, what's been there, what's currently the volumes being clocked, as well as what's the supply chain and what typically the OEMs are looking at, because there are various categories of sensors which are there in the market, as well as which are gaining more and more sort of content per vehicle. The next phase of the study is to start looking at the sort of filtering down to the product that we would like to venture and look at in terms of technology, in terms of capacity, in terms of other financial parameters. So give and take, I think a quarter or a little more is what we would take to kind of arrive at a conclusion.
So just wanted to understand, are we tying with anybody else for the product, or we are going on our own? As sensors are already present and there is competition already present ahead, has forayed into this market long back.
Yeah. So your question is right. We would be tying up with somebody for technology. So within Anand Group, we do not have that technology available. And that's all. That evaluation also is a part of the project.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Chetan Gindoria from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, wanted to understand on the passenger vehicle side, you mentioned that we are adding new models with Maruti. Also, on Mahindra side, also we have orders from Stellantis and Volkswagen Group. So, if you can share some quantitative data on, you know, what kind of annual revenue can these new orders bring us, or are most of this replacement orders, you know, just some colors on, what is the annual revenue that we can generate from new orders?
I'll give you a broad perspective, while because we are not sort of supposed to share volumes of these new programs based on the contract that we sign. In give and take, currently we are at 22% of the total top line. We aim and target to reach in the range of 25%. With regards to replacement, Maruti, some of the programs that is going to get launched in this year and the first quarter of next year, they are replacement. But for Volkswagen, Stellantis, as well as for Mahindra, they would be new program
EV. Okay, okay. And secondly, wanted to understand on our EV market share. So currently, our market share in two-wheeler EVs is, as you said, around 60%. So given that we understand a lot of established players did not participate in the market earlier, and now going ahead will be doing so, do we expect some moderation in our market share going ahead, or do we feel given our strong customer relationships and our product technicality, we'll be able to maintain our market share?
The endeavor is to maintain, if not improve. Yes, there will be competition, but we already have the first mover advantage. And now, with Hero Electric coming in as well, it's going to actually improve our market shares as far as EV is concerned.
Okay, okay. Sir, just lastly, wanted to understand, you said we are also looking for acquisition. So what is our intention behind the acquisition? Is it product diversification, or are we looking at incremental higher market share in the same shock absorber product? And what is our, you know, ROI, and will we be open with even EPS dilutive acquisition. Some guidelines on acquisition side, if you can share.
So we have sort of a range of what we call as a cornerstone or decision-making factors when we look at any targets. The broad ones being that it has to be in the mobility space. Can it be a different product? The answer is yes. Can it be suspension and allied products? The answer again is yes. We are open to that. It can also include backward integration. One of the targets that we evaluated and had also had a visit last time was towards that, which unfortunately did not fructify. But so we are open to that. Upward obviously can't happen because we have OE, so downward is quite possible. Domestic as well as international is an option that is available. If you have any specific with regards to the sort of the financial numbers, obviously it has to make sense when we gonna buy. We don't want to be a financial investor. We want to be a strategic partner in that acquisition we would be running. So a lot of synergistic value needs to be present when we are looking at such acquisitions. Otherwise, for the purpose of buying and product diversification, if we are not able to add value, that currently is of less interest.
Okay. Got it. So thank you. Thanks a lot for your insight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sonal Sharma from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. So just want to understand that what is your expectation for FY23 volumes for electric two-wheeler? Because last time I think you have guided for 600,000 units just post the fire incident. So how are you thinking that for full year, how it will be pan out?
Well, given that we've already had the capacity in place and for the Hero Electric, we'll be sort of adding something more to that. In terms of volume, it's a little difficult right now to gauge, given some recent developments. But the previous number that you mentioned, we continue to believe that that we would be able to clock that.
Okay, and just adding to the previous participant's question, that regarding to the first mover advantage that you have said, that you have in the shock absorber. So other than this, is there any technological advantage or any sort of patent or any sort of moat that you have that no of your competition can copy?
No competition copy, no, that advantage is not there. But in terms of technology, specifically for Ola, we've developed an inverted front fork, as well as the shock absorber is a monotube shock absorber. So that's a unique proposition that is there with Ola. These products and programs have a long sort of a validation cycle. So given the fact that we have partnered with them along with their own journey, the sort of possibility of getting replaced with some other organization apart from Gabriel is low. But yes, I mean, obviously these are all driven by cost and performance.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's my question.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead. Viraj, could you please answer?
My question will be answered. So just a suggestion on the service charge, which you talked about the parent charges. The explanation was quite comprehensive. Just a suggestion, instead of charging a percentage of sale, why not, charge a percentage of profit? I mean, that's what the approach a lot of other MNCs and other domestic companies in the similar space they have. So it's kind of more aligned to, the other minority in here. So just a suggestion. Thank you.
Suggestion noted. We also need to evaluate when we are thinking on these lines whether this tantamount should dividend or not. But nevertheless, suggestion was noted last time also. So we'll think through it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand over the floor back to Mr. Rishi Lahoraka for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
I take this opportunity to thank everybody for joining the call. I hope we've been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us or SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Thank you. On behalf of Gabriel India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.